Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Now, what again is the problem that the Apostle Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? It is the problem of Christians taking Christians to court, that is, civil court, that is, outside the church court, Christians taking Christians to court instead of settling their issues within the church. That's the problem. Paul considers that to be a serious problem. He states the situation of verse 1, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before saints?" How dare you do that? I can't believe you're doing that. And then Paul lays out the solution, verses 2 through 5, which we've been working on the last couple of broadcasts now. But his solution is, number one, have confidence in God's redemptive work. And by that, I mean the statement that God's redeemed people, when the work of redemption reaches its culmination, God's redeemed people are going to judge the world. Wow, that's quite an assignment. That requires quite a capability. But we'll be equal to that task. And not only the world, but God's people will judge angels, verse 3. And Paul indicates, even though we're not as qualified to judge now as we will be then when we're fully sanctified and are participating with our Lord and Savior in the judgment of the world and the judgment of demons and fallen angels. But nevertheless, we already have a competency to judge now the affairs of this life that exceeds the competency of unconverted people to judge the affairs of this life. And so he says, have confidence in the people of God. Christians are more competent to judge than unbelievers because spiritual wisdom outranks secular qualifications. So find wise, mature believers in the church who are capable of resolving these disputes among church members and settle it that way. And we'll go on with this teaching, but first I pause to welcome you to this Wednesday, August 25 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And secondly, to thank those of you who give so that we can keep teaching on this station. You are vital to this ministry. And so, verse 5, find mature believers. I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? Don't you have a single wise, mature member? In referring to the least esteemed members of the church as being more capable to judge than secular judges outside the church, he was not saying they're the ones you ought to appoint. Find the most immature, the newest Christians, the least knowledgeable Christians, those who know the least about the Bible, and submit these matters to them. No, that's not the point. The point is that even they have a measure of spiritual wisdom which outranks the secular qualifications of judges outside the church, but they're not the ones that you appeal to. You look for the wisest, the best, the most knowledgeable. And all churches have some wise, mature members who are fully capable of making judgments of such issues and doing it well. So, what he's saying is, are you telling me that you don't have even one wise, competent, mature believer in your church who's capable of judgments? Come on now. I don't believe that. I say this to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? Not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? But the scandal, which is now restated in verse 6, is, but brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. That's what he opened the chapter with in verse 1. Now he restates the same problem in different words. In verse 1, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Verse 6, but brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. In my Bible, exclamation point at the end of that statement. Church members in the church of Corinth are taking fellow church members to court, and in doing so are harming the testimony of the church. Brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. And this is not just saying that you're not being wise by doing this before unbelievers because they don't have as much wisdom as Christians do, though that's true. They don't have this as high a qualifications to settle these matters as believers do, though that's true. But what he's pointing to here is, this is scandalous. This hurts the testimony of Christ. You're airing your dirty linen out in public, is the way we would say it. It is a scandal. Every now and then we read about some church that's had a great disruption and some faction takes another faction to court and they wrangle and argue and fight in court and air their dirty linen in court. And more often than not, this doesn't happen every time, but more often than not, the judge in the court says, this is outside my jurisdiction. If he really understands the Constitution, he'd probably say that. This is outside my jurisdiction. The Constitution doesn't allow secular government to pass judgment on churches, on religious matters. That those areas are exempted from government oversight and control. You've taken it to the wrong place, but by the time you get that ruling, you've already ruined the testimony, and it's in the paper, and it's on television, and everybody knows it, and it's a scandal. And people are saying, there go those Christians. They're always fighting and wrangling with one another, and it's a scandal. It's a shame. It's a bad testimony. And what Paul is saying is the testimony of Christ should outweigh our demand for justice. And he'll make that more clear as we go on. But that's hinted at even here. Here you are doing this before unbelievers. Shame, shame, shame. The testimony of Christ is at stake. And if you are a believer, you ought to be more concerned about the testimony of Christ than you are for your own interests before you are demanding justice for yourself. And so these are the things that Paul has addressed to the church, but now he addresses the primary offenders in verses 7 and 8. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather allow yourself to be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat and do those things to your brethren. He talks to the primary offenders, the ones who have done this, the ones who are doing this, or the ones who are thinking about doing it. But he's addressing them in this letter to the whole church. And so he's still speaking to the church as a whole, but he's focusing upon the primary offenders. And in verse 7, he addresses the plaintiff, and in verse 8, he addresses the defendant. We recognize those terms, don't we? We watch enough court shows, court programs on television to have gotten familiar with those terms. The plaintiff in court is the one who is bringing the complaint. They are called the plaintiff. They're making a charge. They're making a complaint. They are suing somebody. They're dragging somebody into the court and charging them with doing wrong. They are the plaintiff. And, of course, the defendant is the one who is being charged, who is being taken to court by the plaintiff. Now, what does Paul say to the plaintiff? He says in verse 7, and I'll tell you what he says, and then I'll go back and read it. He says, taking a brother to court is an automatic defeat. You've already been defeated when you take him to court. The act of taking him to court is defeat. Because, and this is tough to swallow, but this is what he says, it's better to lose some of your possessions than to lose your testimony or to lose your health. You may have been wronged. Your complaint may be legitimate. It may be, it may not be, but let's just concede for the moment that it is. It's not something that you've gotten worked up about and gotten out of sorts about and can't even see clearly because you're all worked up emotionally. No, your complaint may be legitimate, but what is worse, losing money or some other thing of material value or hurting Christ's church? Come on now. What's worse? You answer that. How should a Christian answer that? Well, harming Christ's church is worse than losing some material possession. Material possessions are fleeting anyway, and they can be taken and they can be returned, and God can take them and He can return them. He can bless us for doing what's right. He takes care of us. It's His responsibility to care for His children. Our material possessions are secondary, but the testimony of Christ and His church is what is primary. Here's what Jesus said, verse 38 of Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Same thing. Better to lose your possessions than to lose your testimony. Possessions are nothing. Where do we get the idea that they are so important? Sometimes we think they are of supreme importance. We act that way, we live that way, contrary to what Jesus has taught us. Listen to what our Lord has told us. Possessions are not of supreme importance. They are necessary for life upon the earth, but they are given to us by God, who knows what we need and gives us what we need, promises to give us what we need, and so often gives us far more than we need besides. But where do we get this grasping, covetous, materialistic perspective that these things are our life, these things are the most important thing in life, that we've got to hold on to our things and accumulate things and pile up more things, and if we have something taken away from us, that's the greatest insult, that's the greatest problem, that's the greatest loss that's possible? No, the loss of your Christian testimony and the loss of your spiritual health is a far greater loss than the loss of your material possessions. That's what Jesus taught, that's what Paul is teaching. And if you had that in mind, you wouldn't have this problem that we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Please join me tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.